Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Sam Green is an Academy Award-nominated documentary filmmaker. For his most recent film, The Measure of All Things, he was inspired by our collective fascination with the Guinness Book of World Records and traveled across the world to gather footage of record-holding and nearly record-holding people and places. The result is a fascinating live documentary film and performance featuring video, Green's live narration, and an original score composed and performed by indie classical chamber ensemble Y Music. This special live documentary experience will be presented at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts, this Saturday night at 8:30. Sam Green joins us now. Welcome to the Roundtable.
Happy to be here.
Tell me how you developed this presentation of doing a documentary but with live elements.
Well, it was kind of an accident. A couple of years ago, I was making a film and somebody asked me to do a presentation about the project. And I said, okay, I can show some clips and talk about it, and I'll even get a friend of mine to make some live music. It'll be a really fancy lecture. And I did it, and I just kind of fell in love with the form. It really worked. I did this sort of fancy lecture for a bunch of people, and everybody seemed to get it, and it was just nice to be in a space with people and have live music. The whole thing just sort of charmed me, that form, and I've just continued to do it. I've made several of these, what I call live documentaries.
The music for this one, for The Measure of All Things, which will be presented at Mass MoCA, is by Y Music, a sextet. How did you discover them and decide to work with them on this film?
Wow, that's a good story. I went to see a band called The Dirty Projectors.
I love them.
At Carnegie Hall in New York. I was very excited, and Y Music was actually playing with The Dirty Projectors, sort of as their kind of string and horn section. But before The Dirty Projectors came on, Y Music played a few songs on their own. And it just mesmerized me. It was so fantastic and luminous and epic. They are able to make a huge sound. And granted, in Carnegie Hall, almost anything sounds good, but they sounded sublime. So it's funny because I went to that show with a couple other film people. And afterwards, we all said to each other, God, I want to work with that group. So later I got in touch with them and it worked out. But it was a real neat way to discover them for myself.
When you're working on the film, knowing that you're going to present it in this non-traditional way to present a documentary film, does it change the way you do anything? Or is the process
of
filmmaking similar? No, it does change.
No, it's very different. And that interests me. I think in a live context, people are much more open, so you can have a long interlude that's just images and music, and people will sit with it for much longer than they will if it was a video. If it was a DVD you were watching on your TV, after 20 seconds you might say, oh God, what's next? But if you're outside especially and it's night and it's pleasant and you're feeling this live music wash over you and it's a real big image, as an audience member, I think you'll sit with it for a lot longer. So I think it's interesting. The two are very different, and editing for a live show is a whole different ball game.
When did you know you wanted to pursue a career in documentary filmmaking?
Well, it's a good question. In hindsight, looking back, I can see I was sort of doing this from the time I was a little kid. When I was maybe 8 years old, I was totally obsessed with Bigfoot. Bigfoot, the kind of mythical creature in the Northwest, Pacific Northwest. And for several years, I just was obsessed and would write letters to people who had seen Bigfoot and kind of draw a lot of pictures of Bigfoot. And in a way, I can see that's sort of like proto-filmmaking. You know, it's kind of the same thing I'm doing now, only I didn't have any technology to do it. But I went to college and studied journalism, and I was going to be a newspaper reporter. And a friend of mine, we were signing up for classes, and my friend said, hey, I'm going to take this video class. I hear it's pretty easy. It's a documentary class. And I said, I'll take it with you. And I took it and just really loved it. I loved filming and editing and working with other people like that. So that really was when I sort of figured I'd go into documentary.
And you studied with acclaimed filmmaker Marlon Riggs. What did you learn from Mr. Riggs?
Well, his work, Marlon Riggs made a huge impression on me, his work especially, because he had gone to this journalism school I had gone to himself, UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. So his work was both very journalistically rigorous, his documentaries, but they were also very lyrical and poetic. And so he combined those two impulses, which are rare in documentary. Usually a film is either like very newsy and gives you a lot of information, or films are kind of very lyrical and not a lot there in terms of substance. So having them both together, especially in documentary, made a big impact on me. I love those two impulses together, and that ever since I've sort of pushed my own work in that direction to combine rigorous journalistic and research-based approach to filmmaking with also a kind of lyrical and poetic form of communication.
What prompted you to focus on world records or close to world records and make The Measure of All Things?
As a kid, I loved the Guinness Book of Records. I spent hours and hours and hours looking through it, and many of the photos from that time were burned into my consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And people of a certain age know, many people know these photos. So the fattest twins riding motorcycles, or the woman with the narrowest waist, or the tallest man with his normal-sized family. Somehow these just were etched into my memory. And a couple of years ago, I found an old paperback version of the Guinness Book of Records, which was from probably the time when I was obsessed with it, the late 70s. And I looked through it and was just very taken aback, A, because I remembered all the photos, but B, as I read through it, I mean, the Guinness Book of Records on the surface is pretty silly. There's a kind of silly tone to it. But as I read through it, I actually was very moved by it, because a lot of it is about people who have odd fates befall them, or people who are compelled to do things for reasons they don't really even understand. So the person who is struck by lightning the most times, 7 times,
mm-hmm.
How does that happen? You know, or the person who takes it upon himself to memorize pi the most digits. I mean, there's almost no explanation why you would do that. It's sort of some odd compulsion. So I started reading the Guinness Book of Records and saying to myself, this is in some ways a kind of epic poem about humanity and about fate and about the mysteries of being alive and about time. And I really saw it as this profound book. And so I wanted to make a piece that expressed that in a kind of poetic sense. It's not going to hit you over the head with that message, but it's a series of portraits of record-holding people, places, and things. But it's not any of the silly records where somebody's hula-hooping for 3 days or anything like that. It's more that the things that where people are not trying to get into the book, like the oldest person in the world, for example, or the person struck by lightning the most times, or things like that. So I just found myself very enthralled by the Guinness Book, and this is an expression of that.
One of the pictures I remember from the books, and one I would describe as the odd compulsion, is the people who have the longest fingernails.
Yes.
And I don't understand how you'd be able to just not trim your fingernails. It's such a such a strange one, but fascinating.
And then with those, there's always the question that comes up, the sort of elephant in the room. How do they go to the bathroom?
Right. How do they do anything?
Everybody on some level wonders that. But yeah, it's true. And that's I sort of focus a little on that record as well.
How approachable were the people that you wanted to talk to for the movie?
Some very approachable, some less approachable. Some are not around. So mm-hmm. The person struck by lightning 7 times actually took his own life.
Oh, my.
The Guinness Book of Records says he was unlucky in love. That person was no longer around. But some of them, you know, the heaviest woman in the world, I shot some footage with her, and she was pretty approachable, or the tallest man in the world was pretty approachable. So it sort of depended on who it was.
How do you know in your filmmaking process when you have the seed for the idea that you will take all the way to make a movie? I know it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of money. You must be really committed to the idea before you know you want to pursue it. How does that assurance strike you?
That's a great question. I have ideas all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about the world, and I look into things, and often I get very fascinated by an idea or a story or something like that, but usually it comes and goes, and a couple weeks later I sort of moved on to something else. But occasionally there'll be something where it'll just linger with me, and I won't be able to get rid of it. And with the Guinness Book of Records, there was a period where I said to myself, I don't want to make that movie. And I kind of tried to push it out of my head, and in the end it wouldn't go away. So with this, it's sort of like the movie chose me. That's kind of the way I think of it. So that's how I know.
Sam Green's The Measure of All Things, with live score by Y Music and live narration by Green, will be at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts this Saturday, July 12th at 8:30. Sam, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, and we're very excited to come out there.
Once again, Sam Green's The Measure of All Things, a documentary with live score by Y Music and live narration by Green, will be at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts this Saturday night at 8:30. For more information, visit massmocha.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.